Hi everyone, and welcome to The Why in Your 20s.
This is Bib.
And Nat here. We are two counselors in our 20s navigating our adulthood away from our home country.
This is where we explore questions that might come across in our 20s, including relationships, identities, and all kinds of uncertainties.
Some topics will be fun, others can be a bit scary and uncomfortable, but sit with it, because that's when we learn and grow.
But just a friendly reminder, the information presented in this podcast is for general information purposes only. If you're struggling, please seek professional help.
We might not have everything figured out, but together, we can make this journey less lonely and scary.
So welcome on board,
and let the journey begin!
You want to start us off, Nat?
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Why in Your 20s. Oh, that's actually quite a calm voice, right?
Yeah, I feel like you can't really do that.
I can practice.
You're whispering. Yes. That's not a calm voice.
I think I've tried doing that before, like when we're doing the self-care episode, and I try to be really calm, and I just couldn't. Anyway, you guys probably can hear we have a guest talking today. Do you want to do a little bit introduction about yourself?
Hi, my name is Tammy. I've been friends with Nat and Viv for a while. I am a current lecturer and a accredited counsellor. I was born in Singapore, been in Australia for a few years. Done.
Oh.
I think the not highlight very, is friends with us.
Yes.
Yeah. Not very interesting. No, the highlight is not friends with you.
Anyway.
Okay, why don't we just dive right into today's topic, Nat?
I think there's a reason why we find Tammy to be in this podcast, because I actually saw an Instagram post about Singapore that most people are afraid of being just average and living an ordinary life. And I actually sent it to Viv and I'm like, well, we should invite Tammy to come up and talk about it because it's a typical Singaporean stereotype. I think it'll be interesting to have different perspective and see how you actually feel of being average or, you know, you're different. Do you want to explain what this fear of being average looks like?
I think everyone has a different definition of it, but I feel like for Tammy, when Nat sent that post to you, how did you feel?
I think, what did I reply you? I think I told you, yeah, I have a fear of being average. Actually, I think that post made me think, because I kind of knew that I didn't want to be like everyone else around me. But also, it might be also because I'm quite ambitious. So I just want to like start this whole conversation by saying that I think most people might or might not agree with the fact that they would like to be above average. But I think for myself, personally, I always want to strive for something higher. Like, if everyone around me has a bachelor's, I want to get a master's. Everyone around me has a master's, I want to get a PhD. And I'm just not like I'm competing with anyone, but it's more about competing with myself and seeing how far I can challenge myself to go.
So you see the average is... The baseline of it is based on the people around you. So that's kind of the average?
I think maybe not only the people around me, but maybe people in my generation, which I see through data or statistics or anything. For example, people in the generation might have achieved this, and then I'm like, okay, so I have achieved this as well. Is there any way I could do something more? Like what I said, it's not about competing with others, but more about myself and my... Like, the thought of me being able to do more, so I keep trying to challenge myself. So I feel like I haven't met my... I haven't met the glass ceiling yet for myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the glass ceiling?
I don't know. That's why I keep... Like, for example...
I keep adjusting.
Yeah. So when I did my master's, I felt like, okay, it's not too hard. I think I can go for a PhD. Or I can do a master's in something else. Yeah. So I feel like I just, like, keep challenging myself. And that's just, like... That's just in me. It's my character, maybe.
I love how you put it as ambitious, because that's a positive aspect on it. But then if you put, quote-unquote, just being average, it sounds negative. So I think it depends on how you see it and how you interpret it.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's always two sides to a coin, because it's good to be ambitious, but that kind of ambitious drive can sometimes drive you to be quite anxious about what you can or cannot achieve and things like that. Or sometimes I get very too excited and too enthusiastic and be like, oh, I want to get my PhD by next research quarter. but I realized that, oh, I might want to prioritize working a bit more first. So it's like balancing the expectations of myself.
Do you ever feel stressed or anxious or disappointed on yourself?
I feel like so far, I've been very lucky to be able to achieve quite a bit of things that I've set out for myself. And I think, of course, that's through whether it be resources or striving for goals or anything. But being disappointed of not being... I mean, I think, of course, sometimes we're not able to get what we want. Whether it be not be able to get what we want at this point. Like, I applied for PhD, as you guys know, for last year. But I didn't go through with it, and I'm only doing it next year again. So I think that's kind of like a little setback. But I managed to tell myself, it's okay, I'm going to try it again. Yeah, and I think that comes with also comforting myself by saying that, oh, I got in, but I just wasn't lucky enough to get a scholarship. So there's a kind of like a justification there that it's okay, you're okay, you can do it, but it's just not now.
Mm-hmm. So what would an average life look like to you then if you say you're striving for ambitious and something more?
I think it might be a quite debatable point, but I feel like this is how average life looks for me. Because this is what,
life?
Yeah, because this is what what I tend to, like, whether it be strive for or have goals for or have this ambition, this is what average life looks for me. And I know, like, it might not look the same for everyone, but I think this whole concept of average life is quite debatable as well, depending on the resources you have or the environment you're born in or the socioeconomic status of yourself or people around you or your family or whatever. So I think that comes with a lot of different aspects that you have to look at, crown this idea of average life.
So you would say you're actually living an average life now?
In my opinion, in my perspective, I think I am.
And are you satisfied with that?
Well, I feel like I'm happy at this moment because I'm doing what I really like. Like I'm currently lecturing, as you guys would know, and I really wanted to be a lecturer since I was very young. So I'm very happy to have achieved this, have an opportunity to venture in this field. And kind of striving for something more is, yeah, I think quite okay in my opinion.
And what, I'm just wondering, what aspects in life are you considering into this average life? You mentioned education and also your job. What other aspects are you factoring into the average life that you say you're living at the moment?
Very interesting question. What do you guys think? What do you think is the average life for you? What are certain aspects or factors that you think might equate to an average life? What a lecturer kind of deflection or question.
I think life in general have different aspects. I wouldn't focus on what average life looks like. Mm. On top of what we've just discussed, I think relationship and your relationship with yourself, like, you know, hobby-wise, what do you enjoy? I think that's what I want to take into account as well.
Do you take into consideration of those, Tammy?
I feel like, just like something that I've mentioned a bit earlier, I feel like the idea of average life really consists of a lot of different aspects and even resources that you have. So I think whatever we see as average life, for example, Nat sees relationship and everything as average life, I don't really take into account those aspects as much as my personal factors or my personal motivations. So I think everyone has kind of a different picture of what an average life looks like.
What about you, Viv?
I don't think I would actually incorporate a lot of the areas that you both mentioned. I think it's a more an internal feeling for me of, okay, I'm satisfied with the way I do things in life.
Mm.
I think academic-wise, career-wise, relationship-wise, I don't think there is... I don't know what's the average to me.
Mm.
So as long as I'm okay with it, I think that's the average that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me personally, it's a bit different where I am more than happy to be living an average life. And I'm not striving to be... Like, I don't want to be ambitious. I just want to live an ordinary life.
I can expect that from you. I think I'm absolutely agree, but also I would love myself to... be able to think that way is internalize it, but I think I always compare myself or where I'm at to other people, which is pretty unhealthy. But I think moving to Australia really helps, like outside, stepping outside of that Asian background. I'm still Asian, but it's that environment that really impacts how you think, right? Mm. I think when I came to Sydney and now moving to Brisbane, which is more quote-unquote more ordinary, no one cares about, you know, what you wear. No one cares about, you know, what bag you wear. No one cares about, you know, what are you studying. I think every time I go back to Hong Kong, I have that fear of, okay, am I doing okay? Mm. What if people ask me what I'm doing? It's that pride inside that you couldn't let it go, I think. It's that you want to let people know that you're doing well, so you're trying really hard to quote-unquote show off. But then in deep, you absolutely understand that you're not actually doing that well. Or maybe you're doing well and, I don't know. It's just me thinking about how I talk to people.
Mm-hmm. And I think just listening to how we kind of address this issue makes me kind of realize that I think three of us look at it and we have the very different perspectives towards a very simple phrase of average life. Like, I think just banking on what, piggybank for what Nat just said, I think I have a bit of a different view from you. So I don't really care what people say of me. Like, I don't, it doesn't really matter if they think I'm doing enough or not. So I mentioned earlier that when we look at, or when we talk about who do you compare with, I was like, oh, generation and everything. But when I achieve something, or when I do something, or when I decide to do my PhD, or in the future do get a med degree, all these, I don't really care about what people think, if I've achieved things or not. I definitely know where you're coming from, because I guess in the Asian, okay, I don't want to label it as Asian, but at least in my experiences back in Singapore, personally, sometimes aunties and uncles go like, oh, what do you study? Or what are you doing now? Or, you know, my son just got into med school, or my son is now a doctor with like Singapore General Hospital and things like that. So I kind of understand where you're coming from for that. But I guess because I compete and I compare with myself internally. So I work hard because it's my ambition and my goals, and doesn't really bother me what people say or think about what I've achieved. So then I think that's a bit different.
Yeah,
that is interesting, because I was just thinking, do I actually not care about how other people perceive me? I actually do believe I don't care about how, like, my friends or family relatives or even just strangers, how they perceive my life to be like. But because I think we talked about having like kids and all that, I would actually care a lot of how my kids perceive me. So when I have a kid, or if I have a kid, I would want to tell them that I have this life, I've achieved these things, and want them to be proud of me.
So kind of acting as a motivation for them to, hey, you know, mommy has achieved like ABCD, and I've scored ABCD as well. To motivate them to also work hard.
Yeah, work hard and letting them know that they can actually achieve more than I can.
So a bit of sidetrack. So do you want your kids to live an ordinary life, or above average or below average life?
I don't think it matters.
Then why do you feel like you want to let your kids to think you? How do they think about you?
It really isn't about that achievement. It's the character that shows, okay, like, she is very determined, she did a lot of these things because of who she is and what she values. But if they want to live a below average or above average, it's up to them, right? I can provide them the resources for them to achieve the best that they can, but it's really up to them where if they want to do this or that. It's up to them. It's their choice at the end of the day.
I think it goes back to how do we define average. Because for you, it can be, you know, being a nice person and your personality, and you want your kids or people around you to see who you are, whereas average to other people can be employment, achievement, more external stuff. And I think what Tammy thinks is a competition between herself and constantly strive for better. So I think three of us have very different definition of being average.
So I think I'm quite lucky, because growing up, my parents never ever forced me to achieve for anything, which is quite funny, because now my parents are like, you're very ambitious, but we've never forced you.
It's like the reverse psychology.
Yeah.
Where do you think it comes from, that ambition?
I think it's just my character. Like, I've reflected on this quite a lot of times, because I've never been pushed or forced to get A's or to score 90 of 100. So I constantly failed math growing up, and I hate math. And I very famously dropped my chance to even do a master's in psychology because I don't want to do statistics, which is funny because I'm doing a PhD soon. But yeah, my parents never ever forced me to get any good grades. Or of course they want me to work hard, but it's not like, oh, you must get A, you must strive for high. So everyone's very perplexed on why I'm so ambitious.
And what that environment kind of triggered that ambitious, or is it just you suddenly found that spark of fire in life that, wow, I need to start planning now and I have all these things that I want to do. Whoa, like, is it like that? Or?
Well, I guess because when you leave secondary school or high school, it's a sort of a doorway for you to start seeing, oh, things you want to do in university or what you want to do in to achieve whatever diploma you're doing. So you kind of have that autonomy to explore and see what you can sort of achieve. And I think that freedom in studying what I'm interested in really sparked off this whole thing. Because back when we were in primary school, secondary school, of course you had to follow the subjects that were given. Math, mother tongue, English, pure literature that I took, history, blah, blah, so on and so forth. And I'm not interested in everything that I learned, but we just had to do it. But coming out of that kind of system really opened my eyes, and I was like, I really want to be in psychology. Like, since I was young, I knew that I wanted to be in the psychology field.
So that's really interesting, because I actually have another friend told me the absolute opposite. Yeah, so some people will think your way, that it's like, okay, I will think about, you know, what do I like and what do I want to do. But other people, they couldn't find what they want to do, so they just look at people around them, what they're doing, right? So they're just constantly chasing after what other people are doing, so they're never satisfied, because they just keep chasing for, as what Faith asked you in the beginning, where's the ceiling? Because you don't know. And you never know, because it's not your mind, it's not your life, because you're just constantly chasing after other people. So I think it goes two way.
Yeah. And I think I agree, because in Singapore we use the Cambridge system, like O-levels, A-levels. So I didn't take A-levels because I went to Polytechnic. People in junior college will take A-levels. But anyway, when I took O-levels, when we had to do our mind map or write down what we want to do, I wrote down, I said, I want to do psychology in university. So at that moment, I was 16, I really had my ambitions wrote down. I've written down my ambitions on a paper in front of me that I stared at every day when I studied, because I knew what I want to do. Yeah, so I think it really comes down to personality or character or how you navigate your life.
Talking about career goals, can I just jump in a very cute little story? Because when I was young, I missed that self, because I don't care about what other people think. So when people ask, you know, what do you want to do? Or you, when you do essay, you know, you write down, you know, I want to become blah, blah, blah. I wrote down, I want to become a kindergarten principal. Because all I saw about what my kindergarten principal do is to wave at people. So I'm like, that's such an easy job. I just need to wave at people. I was like, I love this job. I want to do this. I think I was like 5-6 years old back then. I don't even care about what other people think. I don't need to think about, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. I just want to be a principal, that I just need to wave at people and have nothing to do for the rest of the day.
I feel like it's fine. That job itself, well, that's fine. It's just the reason behind it.
Yeah. Like your motivations for wanting to be a kindergarten principal.
Because you want to wave at people. Yeah. You can do that for free, you know?
I know, but I'm like, you get paid to do it. Because that's what you don't see behind the scenes of what principal do in the office.
Yeah.
You only see them standing in front of the school waving at the kids.
It's very interesting though. Since we're on this topic, Viv, what did you want to be when you were young? Like when they asked you about your ambition, what was the first ambition you remembered saying? The first one.
I think I've said this before, I'm not sure. A cashier.
Huh?
I really wanted... Excuse you, don't judge my dream. That is the
most Asian or Singaporean way of exclaiming, huh?
I really wanted the
ding.
That was so fun.
That's damn stressful, man.
Yeah, but then I want that job. It seems like it's so repetitive. I don't have to think. Mm. I just have to do the ding, 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 and then just give them change, right? Mm. I just have to be able to add.
Are you good at counting?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Hey, technology is so advanced now.
That you don't need cashiers.
You're out of a job.
Oh my goodness. Your job is
No, but it was so fun, like, seeing them. And they were always so friendly to me as well when I was a kid.
Is your kid?
Yeah, when I was a
kid. That's so sad.
What? They're so cute. They're
no,
so
like, fun. Your job is gone. Well, there's no thing anymore. It's just
there's no thing anymore. So now I don't want to be.
Not even thing. It's like people use iPads now.
Yeah, right. So it's just so now I don't want to be a cashier because you don't get the
right.
You know what? You can just open one that just the old school.
No, you know what, Nat? We should get her like those cashier playset for children for her birthday. Those that go ding.
That would be so fun. I don't think they sell that anymore.
They do. I just saw it.
Huh?
But in Singapore, Toys R Us. I think they do here. I think you can find it in Kmart.
I think now they advance.
Swipe cards.
It's not all credit cards.
But they still can think. She seems like the thing is very important to her.
The thing is the most important job. You are right.
The thing is very important to her.
We'll find one then.
So find one and then you can post it on your Instagram to honor this podcast.
Yeah. We'll start every podcast with that thing.
Oh, she is so pretty good. She sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't judge my dream.
No, it's not. It's just a very unique dream.
Yeah. I think quite a few of my friends had that dream.
Never had anyone tell me they want to be a cashier.
That is so fun. Oh my goodness.
So have you changed since then? You know, when...
Yeah, they don't have a thing anymore, so I don't want to be a cashier.
Oh, so what's next?
Oh, nothing.
You're like, oh, well, I'm not a cashier.
My job is gone.
It's either a cashier or nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing. Oh, but then in high school, I did like the personality test or whatever. And it shows that I'm...
Be a cashier?
There was one. Like, there's a lot of different ranges of jobs, right? One was garbage cleaner.
Oh my god.
I had that.
Oh.
But
is the personality need for
Determination. I have no idea. No, my determination is very low. But it's more of allied health.
All right.
But I didn't listen to it. I went into marketing. Yeah. But let's come back to today's topic. Is that okay?
No, but I think after that principle, I moved to different things. But all those different things are what the society defines as the top career. Like the banking, the lawyer, the doctors, all the high-paying jobs. And I just blindly chase after it, even though I didn't even explore do I like it or not. I just like, okay, people think this is successful, I'll do this.
Do you know the funny part? You know what's my first ambition? A career? Housewife. But I wanted to be a smart housewife. Like, what, I'm not saying
like
housewife.
Take money?
No, like, not in that way, but a housewife with a PhD or a master's. Like, educationally or academically. Not like, I mean, housewives are great. It's a 24-hour job. You don't get to take leave or go on MC if you're a housewife.
So you want to be above average, where the ambition part.
What a good segue to today's topic. But I think I want to, because I always see like my own journey, ambition, my own journey, like ambition wise or growth or anything, as my problem. This is my issue. What I want to do. But again, I want to preface by saying that I'm very lucky to have that autonomy to choose, because I'm not being stressed by my family members. I have that flexibility to explore what I like to do, even in different countries. So, yeah.
Yeah, actually, I have a personal question where it's not attacking on you, but I'm just very curious. What's wrong with being average? Because it seems like the both of you want to be, like, for Tammy, is it being more ambitious, doing more and achieving more and more and more after you have achieved that goal. You keep continue to adding on the goals. And for Nat, it's just being average.
Yeah, you're not just an average person.
Doesn't want to be that just average. Has to, you know, meet the standards and even more. So I was just wondering, like, why? Like, I'm just curious because I've never had that and I don't know what's the motivation behind that.
I think I can give you different answers. Depends on what stage in my life is.
Okay, it's like 5 minutes. Next 5 minutes will be Ned talking about her different answers.
Ding! Oh my goodness! This is such a great introduction!
Right?
Dun, 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 dun. Ding! Anyway, just let me talk, okay?
Please let her talk.
It's important information. Now I forgot what I want to say.
So it's not important. you have different answers at different stages.
Yeah.
So I don't know which one you want to focus on.
I think at one point I'm really chasing after the celery. I'm like...
I thought it was celery.
I
didn't want
you... I need to keep chewing celery.
He must be very heaty.
No! Money!
Ding.
I chase after that because I'm like, if I have money, then everything will be fine.
Mm.
You know, it's such a saying that, you know, money can solve everything. Mm. So the more money I earn, the more safety I can secure. Mm. I think that's one of my thoughts in the past. Another thing is the pride. Is that I want people to know that I'm doing well. I want people to know that I'm no longer that stupid little girl in the school that I'm not good at everything. I think it's a bit of pride that I couldn't let go. So I don't have that pride when I was here in Brisbane. I'm like, I actually want to live a life that, you know, I can live in a farm. And I'm not saying farmers is, you know, a bad job or whatever, but I don't care about what job is successful, what job is not successful. As long as I'm living an average life, I survive and I'm doing what I like, I'm happy. But I think it's every time I go back to Hong Kong, I have that anxiety around what will people think about me. Mm. And I have a conversation with my friend before, and I'm actually very proud of where I'm at now. Doesn't mean that the money that I earn or degree, how many degrees that you have, I don't think that matters. But to me, I have that emotional intelligence and able to understand myself, sort of. I think it's something that I'm very proud of. So, don't know if that answers your question. but answering your question, I don't think there's anything wrong being average. Mm. I think it's just going back to the reason why you fear of being average.
I feel like my answer would be quite similar to what I said before when I said that the whole idea of average is really based on how you feel individually. Like what Nat just said as well, that's her idea of like what average is. But because my competition is within myself, and it's me to me, it's myself, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of being average is what I think average is, and might be different from what Nat feels or what Viv feels or what anyone else feels. I feel like I'm not over average at this moment. That is my opinion of myself. Like, I feel like I'm still in the whole average, like, position. But I think I've never really liked to compare with people around me. So it's always about how much I can do, what I can strive for, and what I want to achieve for myself. So that's why I said my parents never forced me to achieve anything, and they've never forced me to get a gold medal when I do things. It's just like whatever makes you happy is most important. And as long as you pass your grades, you have proper knowledge of things, then it's fine. I feel like it's always within myself because of how my parents kind of taught me growing up. It's never with someone else or with anyone outside of myself. Mm. Even though I did mention that I look at data and statistics and everything to determine what is above average. But at the end of the day, I feel like reflecting on this whole idea, it's really just me, myself and I.
I just have a follow-up question where you're saying like right now you're living a very average life. So if you imagine yourself living exactly like this for next 10, 20 years, how does that make you feel?
It wouldn't happen. Because I know that I'm very ambitious.
But if it does, what?
It shut you down directly. I don't think I'll feel that good. Yeah. I don't think I'll be very happy with it. But also depending on different circumstances, like what I've mentioned as well. Are there any circumstances that is causing various obstacles for me to reach my goals? Health-wise or anything that can be points to consider?
So would you think it's boring or it's, you know, not exciting? You think life is no purpose? Is there anything pops up or is just simply just won't be happy.
I guess it's just not the way I see my hard work, like the years of hard work that I'm building up now. That's just not where I see myself to be in 10 years' time.
So I guess it's a bit more disappointment.
Yeah. It's a very all or nothing mindset I have. So people like me should not gamble. It's all or nothing. And that's what I do with my life decisions. Always all or nothing. I work very hard to get to achieve different milestones that I set up for myself. It's often all or nothing. When I say all or nothing, I think what I mean is I usually don't have backup plans for big goals. Like I tell myself I want to achieve this, so I work hard towards achieving it. It's not like I kind of want this, but I kind of can go that way as well. So it's okay if I don't, you know, I'm not saying that it's wrong to feel that way, but I'm just saying for myself personally, it's not how I do things.
Do you think at one point that this way of seeing life can be unhealthy?
Yeah. Like, I think it can be very unhealthy.
Like what part of it that you feel like it can go wrong?
I don't think it's more of going wrong, but it's more of continually working very, very, very hard because of the goals you set for yourself and not letting yourself take a break. Like, both of you would know, and people who know me would know, that I work like a cow, like an ox. I rarely want to take breaks. And up until like a few months ago, I was working 7 days a week. And fortunately enough, it's not because I had to, but because I wanted to. So it's just a inbuilt personality that I'm just like that. And it's very perplexing for my parents who, like what I said, have never forced me to achieve anything. They're like, don't worry, take it easy. I think when I first developed this kind of character, they thought that it was because they were stressing me or anyone in school was stressing me. And I was like, no. So then they've always encouraged me, it's okay, take it easy, do whatever you like. You know, as long as you're happy, it's fine. So I'm very fortunate in that sense. But they're still, up to this day, very perplexed at my all or nothing extreme working like an ox personality.
I think changing the narrative a little bit is, you know, you're goal-oriented, you're ambitious, that you're always up for a challenge. You feel like life will be, you know, not happy or not fun if there's no something to chase after. And that chasing is created on your own. It's not comparison.
Correct. It's
from
not like
other people.
Not like comparison, it's not expectation, but it's just a personal self-motivation thing. Like, I just want to do it.
It's a very intrinsic motivation.
Correct. It's an intrinsic motivation, and it's just, I just like to achieve and challenge myself a lot.
I mean, it's fair, like, everyone have that. But I think it's to what point that are you looking after yourself, that are you burning out yourself? I think that's something you need to be mindful.
And I guess something to highlight is, because it's so intrinsic, there's no external stresses or pressures. I'm giving myself the expectation. That's why it kind of comes in a form of motivation and excitement and enthusiasm and passion, compared to if I'm stressed by somebody externally, it becomes stress, pressure, overwhelming, frustration, nervousness and all that. So I guess that's why the more work I do, the more excited I get.
So I think we all have very different definition of being average. So maybe we can talk about what are some advice or what are some tips that you would give to people if they are struggling of that fear of being average.
Well, if they're struggling with the fear of being average, I guess first you have to question where this fear comes from. And I think it might be quite challenging or confronting to challenge that idea of why do I have the fear of being average, or where's the fear stemming from? But I guess addressing that, the source of that fear, might be good to look at if it's intrinsic motivations or external motivations and how you want to go forth from there. Because if it's not something intrinsic, you will get burnt out and exhausted very easily if it's because of external pressures. And I do understand that for most people it might be very external factors. And then that's where, I don't mean to be a nag, but my counselor self comes in and I promote self-care. It's very important. I know that it might seem like a chore sometimes, or it might seem like something extra, but taking time out, just even 15 minutes or 20 minutes to see what you want to do, really helps. Journaling or colouring or anything. And finding yourself again and asking yourself why or where or how or what you have to do to achieve that. And what do you think is average, below average and above average, and why?
I think that's absolutely really good questions that you can ask yourself, or the audience can ask yourself, or journal about it. I think one is knowing where that fear coming from, as what Tammy said, and two, knowing what you want. Is if you realize that fear is coming from extrinsic, like, you know, for me it might be that pride, that I want to prove myself that I've changed. then I'll ask myself, does that matter? And of course, this kind of fear won't go away, you know, once you think through that. I think it takes time. But then the second part you can do is finding out what you value. I think going to therapy is very helpful because you can talk to your counselor about, you know, exploring what your values. I personally find it very helpful. And then you add in accordance to your values, because then you know this is your values. You are not extrinsic, as you said.
And I suppose I also want to address the fact that not everyone's comfortable with going to therapy, or even not able to assess therapy easily. Just talking to a trusted friend or someone that you trust can also help you to explore those matters of these different things. And yeah, I guess working through that might be very helpful for you moving forward, because it's always like you don't want it to pile up and, you know, come to a point where you are so overwhelmed that you don't even want to do anything. You want to stop everything and dump everything down. And I guess, like what I said, I guess we're fortunate enough to have that autonomy to explore all these topics. But for those who might not have that freedom or have that space to do so, I guess it's always about taking a step back. Just 5-10 minutes thinking or talking to a friend can really help as well.
Sounds good. I don't have any advice, just because I feel like I don't have that fear of being average. And just listening to both of you, I do understand why people find counselors annoying.
I said again, I don't mind to be a nag, but self-care. I started off with saying I don't want to be a nag, okay?
But you, but understanding
that awareness is so important, okay. People.
Yeah. You are also a counselor, Viv. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm annoyed with myself as well.
Oh my gosh. This is another topic to unpack. just kidding.
But I honestly don't have anything much more to add. I think what you guys have mentioned about the questions that Tammy has brought up, and also, you know, the different ways of exploring that, whether it is doing it by yourself, journaling like that said, or what Tammy said is exploring with a trusted friend in a safe space, similar to what we're doing right now, and also what Nat said about going to a therapist, a professional, to explore more on that if that is something that you want to continue down that road. Not only addressing the fear of being average, but also other things that you want to explore more on.
Oh my god, Viv, you're such a counselor. Summarizing.
And lecturer as well.
And lecturer.
But yes.
I think I just leave this job to her. Like, I can be the one that is rambling, and she can be the one that just summarizes everything for me.
I love my job.
It's literally our job.
Okay.
What is that big sigh? You don't want to do it.
Anyway, so these are some of the things that we probably would advise to people, to just people in general. I think that's what we're gonna cover. I feel like that's enough. But yeah, thank you, Tammy, for joining us today. I think we've talked about you joining one of our episodes for
since we started.
Before you started. And then you never had me on your podcast.
Hey, no, we invite you.
You never invited me.
It was very hard to find a suitable topic, though.
Are you saying I'm troublesome?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, you know what? End this podcast now. We're going to talk about it.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
It was just hard to find exactly that right one for you specifically.
That's true. And I suppose this is a very interesting topic because just summarizing on the summarized.
Wow.
Lecturer and a counselor self is coming out. It's more about, I guess, it's very interesting because a lot of people have the fear of being average, but then whether it be intrinsic or extrinsic, I think that's the more interesting part as well, and how we can look into that. But thanks for having me. It's very nice to speak in a space that we don't usually talk in such calm.
It's very
demeanor.
It's
a very odd experience for me.
It's okay.
Well, at least for me.
Yeah.
I love though.
Seeing this calm side. It doesn't feel like you.
Only my students listen to my calm voice, and they apparently like it. Apparently, they don't agree. Police doesn't like it.
I don't know. We have similar conversation one time. We are staying over and at midnight, you know, having this deep conversation. I think
being average.
No, not this topic, but just like deep conversation in general.
In general, only that day, so the rest of the conversations we have are shallow.
Okay.
Wow, thanks, Nat. Okay. Thanks for that. All right.
Oh, wow, that's not what I meant, but okay.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
Thank you for joining.
All right, we'll see you next time on the why in your
20s. Yay! Wow. Bye! Oh,
it's... Wow, this is so bad. But yes, we'll see you in 2 weeks' time, audience.
Bye!
Bye. No, wait, what? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Bye. Hey, come on.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Bye.